Theresa May and her speech yesterday is one of the biggest talking points around the country. She couldn't deliver some of it because she went into a coughing fit. The PR stunt where someone walked up. How on earth did someone get so close to Theresa May to ambush her with a fake P45 letter? And then the letters, the signage on the set behind the Prime Minister, the letters started falling off. It was farce after farce. Here's a reminder.
Let this party celebrate the wealth creators, the risk takers, the innovators and entrepreneurs.
Well, it was an extraordinary speech. There was praise from some of the Prime Minister's for some of the Prime Minister's resilience. She even managed to find some humour and make some quips during the address. Here's what happened after she was handed a phony P45 by a prankster.
I was about to talk about somebody I'd like to give a P45 to, and that's Jeremy Corbyn. Yeah! I hope you noticed that, ladies and gentlemen, the Chancellor giving something away free.
The Northern Ireland Conservative Frank Shivers is just back from the Tory conference. Good morning to you, Frank.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, you must be embarrassed, or you must be considering who to vote for rather than Theresa May.
Not at all, Stephen. Stephen, I was at the Tory conference for 4 days, and the amount of work that our Prime Minister did, from breakfast meetings right through to media interviews, to fringe meetings, to receptions over those 4 days. It was a miracle that she could actually speak at the speech, if I'm honest. And I think what certain parts of the media and yourself included should concentrate on is the content of the speech.
Rather than the delivery
of it, yes.
Really? So let's just step through this, Frank. So the Conservative Party, the ruling party in government to keep us safe, they can't even stop a prankster getting within, you know, a hand's reach of the Prime Minister. And we're supposed to trust the Prime Minister and the people around her for our security. What if that guy had been a terrorist?
Stephen, don't be ridiculous.
What if that guy had wanted to punch the Prime Minister?
Don't be ridiculous.
How am I getting ridiculous? How did that guy get anywhere close to her?
Well, if you let me speak, I'll explain to you, Stephen. That guy got close to her because he had gone through a vetting procedure. Now, it has been announced yesterday there'll be a root and branch review of that.
Right.
But he was no threat.
So it was lax.
It was a prank. Yeah, absolutely, it was lax. And it certainly was a mistake. But to blame the Prime Minister for that, that's it. And to align it to the security of our nation is just farcical.
Well, here's how I'm aligning it. It's about optics. Of course it's not practically going to affect our safety, but this is about optics.
So the woman
who is standing there saying, look, you know, part of what any Prime Minister does, any government does, is it makes the country feel safe. So someone was asked, where was the security team? How come she wasn't surrounded as soon as that guy got anywhere near her? That guy walked up, handed her this page, right? And there still wasn't a security team circling around her.
I was there, Stephen. I witnessed it. So let me start by saying there's a very strict vetting procedure by the Manchester Police, which goes on months before the conference. We're actually in the secure zone, which you have to go through a number of police cordons to show your pass. Your pass is then scanned. You're put through metal detectors and all your various bits and pieces are scrutinised. And then you go through into the various halls. So, I mean, I don't know what you're trying to suggest.
What I'm trying to suggest is that if that had been another individual who would have wanted to punch the Prime Minister, to jump on top of her and bring her down to the ground, that would have been an international incident. It would have been an incident throughout the world. And he got close enough to do it.
Well, we had Prince William here yesterday at the Inspire opening. And if you look, he was shaking hands with the crowd that were just behind barriers. None of those were vetted. None of those had gone through security, metal detectors, various searches. They didn't have passes. So, I mean, are you saying then public figures shouldn't get within an arm's reach of the public?
Is that what I'm asking is, should any member of the public be able to walk up to the Prime Minister and nobody surrounding the Prime Minister? I'll tell you what, if that had been in America, that guy would have been floored. And the Prime Minister would have been escorted off that stage pretty quickly. I'm wondering if that would have happened. But let's move on.
I'm not suggesting, Stephen, that it's not an issue. There's a security issue, breach. And I'm sure that's going to be looked at.
How does the Tory party, that's the leader of the country talking to not just the Tory party conference, but to the whole of the UK. That's what she's trying to do. How does your party get into a situation where the very letters are falling apart?
Yes, I'm serious.
I'll talk about the issues in a second. How does that happen? The slogan was building a country that works for everyone. And the set's falling apart.
Are you for real?
It's about optics.
And you've never had a set fault on any of your shows, Stephen.
I'll tell you what. You see, if that happened, if I was standing up in front of millions of people watching and the set fell apart, the people who built the set would never work for me again.
Well, and possibly that could happen, Stephen. But do you know what? It happened. It's not a big deal. Do you know what is a big deal? The content of what the Prime Minister delivered. And that is what you should be getting out.
Is this not a big deal? Is this not a big deal?
On the scale of it, no, it's not.
Right, well, let me move on. And you don't want it to be, so that's why, and you're entitled to do so.
But it's silly that you would.
Let's move on to this issue now. After the terrible election result that your party had, Theresa May taking responsibility for that.
It was the highest vote for Conservatives since the 80s.
Theresa May saying sorry because of the election, result, and she took responsibility for it. So what she needed to do there, she needed to appear to be strong. She needed to appear to be that person that we can have confidence in, that no matter what happens, she's a strong leader. She couldn't make her way through the speech.
Stephen, the lady had a cold. She had a cough. My goodness, are you seriously that? I just don't believe that you would make an issue of it.
You don't. You do realise that this is running on a loop around every news network I can see. BBC News, 13 minutes past 10, Theresa May coughing and spluttering. It's here now. It's on every news issue. It's on every news network.
What she should be concentrating on is what she was trying to deliver. Unfortunately, she had a cough. She didn't deliver it the best that she could have, without doubt. But look at the content of it. Don't look at the delivery. The content's the important thing. The delivery, yes, it could have been done better, but the lady had a cough.
But do you not agree, Frank? Sometimes Laura Koonsberg was saying last night that sometimes
with the amount of events that lady did over those 4 days, and she was seriously flat out. She came to the Northern Ireland reception. She gave a fantastic speech for United in Northern Ireland, and it was a fantastic conference. And it has just you've picked up on so many, silly points. Pick up the content.
Laura Koonsberg said last night on the 10 o'clock news that sometimes bad luck follows a leader. And whether it's their fault or not, the bad luck has an impact. We know now that there are some senior figures within your party trying to gather enough support to ask Theresa May to resign.
How do you know that? Who are they? I mean, I love these news reports to say, certain figures. Who are they?
Do you think she should go?
Absolutely not. I think she's there until we get through Brexit and hopefully beyond. I think she's a fantastic leader. Potentially, we have a great leader in Theresa May.
And you haven't heard of anyone trying to bring her down? Anyone trying to... Boris is totally supportive.
Well, Stephen, I'll reiterate it to you. The press are saying senior Tories trying to bring the Prime Minister down. Who are these people that you're reporting are trying to bring her down? You guys are the ones that are perpetrating that story. Who are they? Name them.
Well, before this conference, you saw Boris Johnson give media interviews and write articles with statements which were not consistent with what the Prime Minister wanted. What was he at doing that? Why would a foreign secretary do that?
We are a political party, and within that party there may be slight differences. But after the speech that the Prime Minister made, Boris reiterated that he was 100% behind her, along with most of the other cabinet ministers that were interviewed. So I'll say again, Stephen, who are these senior Tories that are trying to bring down the PM that are reported in the BBC? Who are they? They won't give their names, but you keep perpetrating the story, but you won't give any facts.
Well, when someone with the status of Laura Koonsberg says that she is hearing from the very top of the Conservative Party that there are senior people gathering names, there are not enough yet, it may not happen, she does put those caveats in, but there are certainly senior figures now talking about whether the Prime Minister has to go.
Well, all I can do is tell you what happened and what I saw with my own eyes and heard with my own eyes at the conference, and that was 100% support for our Prime Minister. She had a fantastic reception anywhere she went, and some of the speeches that she delivered were absolutely fantastic and on the nail for Northern Ireland.
When you mention Northern Ireland, Frank, let's move to that. Where's our money? Where's our billion?
Well, I think you need to speak to our politicians that are holding up Stormont.
It's your party. The Tory party can release it, can't they?
Well, they can. Yeah.
Where is it? Where's our money?
Well, we're hoping for to get devolved government, and then the elected representatives in Northern Ireland then can distribute that the way they want.
Can we not have it before that?
As James Brooke, our Secretary of State, reiterated at a lot of the receptions and the champ breakfast, that, you know, the last thing we want to do is to go down the sort of direct rule route and implement a budget. We want the devolved power back so that the elected people in Northern Ireland can...
Sure, I hear that, and that is what Brokenshire said, Mr. Brokenshire said. But where's our money now? So as you and I are sitting here talking, you know, we've just dealt on this programme with a story from within the health service, where an elderly lady couldn't get home. She eventually did get home. We are seeing in this programme waiting lists, people's lives devastated, people who can't afford private care in acute pain because the money is not there to treat them.
What are you advocating, Stephen?
Where's our money?
Are you calling for devolved government now, Stephen?
I'm calling for nothing. I'm saying, where is our £1 billion that this country was promised? And without that deal, your party would not be in government. Where's our money?
At the moment, Stephen, there's no devolved government. That money has to be divided by, if it's fair and square, divided by that devolved government. James Brokenshire, the Secretary of State, has said they've got till up until the end of this month. I have no doubt that if budgets have to be implemented by the government, that money will be distributed.
Precisely.
No doubt.
So it's being used as leverage to try to get a deal in Northern Ireland, and that might be a good tactic. But while that tactic is being employed, real people who I am representing on this programme are suffering.
They are the pawns in this.
The
devolved party that we have in Northern Ireland.
No, it is equally arguable.
Ask them to explain to those people why they can't sit down and at least form a government so that money can be distributed for the good people of Northern Ireland.
But I am saying
that's the question you need to ask.
But I am also asking a question of the Secretary of State, the Tory Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, this morning. Why is that money being used as leverage? Why is he not releasing that money now? Why can we not have some of that £1 billion put in to the health service or other areas that he could take a decision to do, couldn't he?
No, he can't.
He can't?
No, he can't. It's a devolved government, and until devolution either gets on with it and starts producing for the people of Northern Ireland and uses that money wisely. The minute that the government call and pull a bill through to do the direct rule, then it'll be utilised.
Yes, but that's my point.
Than the devolved party.
Right, I clearly don't mean, Frank.
In a sectarian carve-up.
I clearly don't mean, Frank, that he could do it now, as in today. What I mean is, the longer that he delays in implementing direct rule, then the longer that £1 billion is not in this country. And that has a consequence for real people sitting in real homes in Northern Ireland now, on waiting lists, our roads, the education of our children.
Sorry, I'll come back to you, Stephen. The longer that our local parties, elected parties, disagree with each other and won't form a government, a devolved government that was fought for, that's the issue of it.
So it is being used as leverage.
No, I'm not saying it's being
used. It is being used as part of this political...
It's up to the devolved. You're not listening to what I'm saying, Stephen. It's up to the devolved parties in Stormont to utilise that money.
The election, Frank, was in March. That money was promised as part of a deal. Your party is now in government. Part of the deal that got them in the government was that this country would get £1.5 billion.
Prior to that election as well.
We don't have the money.
And you're obviously not... You want to get the answer that you want, but I'm telling you what the truth is. It's a devolved matter. That money needs to be put into Stormont so that it gets distributed evenly, so that all the parties are happy with the distribution of that money.
Was that money not promised no matter what?
No matter what.
Is that money not unconditional?
We didn't have a devolved government.
Is that money unconditional?
I couldn't answer that. I don't know the answer to that, to be honest.
Okay, here's Jim and our man. Morning, Jim.
How are you doing, Stephen?
Go ahead, Jim.
Stephen, I'm beginning to think you're a mind reader. You've took the words right out of my mouth there. You know what I mean? The boys are starting to realise, Arlene and the guys are starting to realise, you know, they've been sold a pup. There's no notion of money coming here. Theresa May at that particular time was a hair's breadth to have been tossed out of Downing Street. She'd have promised them anything, a kidney, a heart transplant, whatever they wanted, £1 billion. She doesn't even expect to be in power long enough ever to have to write that cheque. And you're saying there now, this is £1 billion. I thought it's £1.5 billion.
It is £1.5 billion.
It's £1.5 billion. Is that not £1.5 billion on top of what we normally get here?
Correct.
Where is it? You know what I mean? The money to run this place should already be here. That £1.5 billion should be a Brucey bonus for supporting Theresa May and keeping her in power. You know what I mean? I don't think we'll ever smell it, because tied into it as well is a couple of, or £2.5 billion for Scotland and a couple of billion for Wales. They're not going to spend that kind of money. They're not depending on those areas for support. Their support base is around London. They'd be about to spend £1 billion around London somewhere. So, you know what I mean? We're never going to smell that. We're, to put it in agricultural terms, we're the grass behind the gate that the farmer can't mow. We don't get that sort of attention here.
Frank, do you want to reply? Let's let Frank reply.
I think there's no doubt it will come. I think the timing of it, I live in and work in Northern Ireland. I mean, I want that money in Northern Ireland. And you're right, it is a Brucey bonus up and above the £11 billion that Westminster gives us for a block grant. So, I mean, yeah, I'm as frustrated as everybody else in Northern Ireland. But the people to blame are not James Brokenshire, the Secretary of State, Prime Minister. The people to blame are your elected representatives, who everybody went out and elected to manage a devolved government in Northern Ireland, who can't get their act together.
But it's not conditional on a devolved government. That's the point.
Who's going to distribute it?
Brokenshire, if there is direct rule, can distribute the money.
If there's direct rule. At the present moment in time, Stephen,
he's hanging out. He's hanging out.
For the good.
He's holding out.
The best thing for the people of Northern Ireland is a devolved government.
But how long is this going to continue? How long is this going to continue?
You believe that the best thing for the people of Northern Ireland is a devolved government?
That may be or may not be the case. That's not for me to comment upon. But I can comment upon this because it's fact.
It's not for me to express an opinion on it.
But while this impasse continues, this is what I can say as a statement of fact. There are people who this programme represents, people on the ground in Northern Ireland, and they are suffering. And that £1.5 billion that we were promised could help them.
Absolutely.
And while the impasse continues, they suffer, but your party continues in government.
And I'm going to say again to you, it's a devolved matter. Are you now calling? Because I would for my money, I want a devolved government. I want the people of Northern Ireland to elect people within Northern Ireland to represent them and distribute that money to where they know it's needed. Okay. In the absence of that, the government will have no alternative. And it was said very plain by the Secretary of State, he'd have no alternative. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants to do what's right for the people of Northern Ireland. But if it's not going to happen, then yes, the government will come in. Okay. And they will impose that, and they will put that money in.
John in North Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, John.
And I see the whole thing in a different view. Right? I seen it all yesterday as a subtle attack on Boris Johnson, because he was the one who suffered the most embarrassment. The guy who gave Theresa May her P45 made his way over to Johnson, gave him a thumbs up, therefore implying that Johnson has something to do with it, and therefore making his leadership bid that more difficult.
And of course,
I could be a million miles out, of course.
Well, of course, Boris Johnson had nothing to do with it. This was a prankster. But John, thank you. I want to end today by saying, Frank Shivers, thank you very much indeed, as
thank
always,
you,
for coming on the programme today. Thank you. And we